Okay, turn to the book of Exodus, and we will continue there. Israelites have made it out of the land of Egypt. God's led them out, trapped by the Red Sea. God parted the waters. They walked across the Red Sea. Israelites, or the Egyptians and their chariots, obviously were caught and drowned in that. Last week we talked about the Israelites as they continued on. 3 days, remember it was 3 days after that. It's three this way, not three this way anymore. 3 days after that, they were running low on water and seemed to go to God and say, hey, we got a situation here. And then they turn and complain to Moses and Aaron, we have no water. What are we going to do? And they came to a place where the water was bitter. Let me get this story straight. Remember? And then God said, take this tree and put it in the water, and it was made drinkable and usable. And then shortly after that, the end of chapter 15, it says, and then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the waters. So God provided right after that plenteous for them. And we see how soon they forget what God had provided and that he was leading them. As we start into chapter 16 today, we'll see they continue their journey. Verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Anybody want to take a guess as to how long they've been traveling at this point? Okay. Turn back to chapter 12. I think it's verse 39 says, it's not there. Anyhow, I'd find it if I'd look for it, but I can't find it now. They've been traveling for 30 days because it was the 14th day of the first month. Remember the Passover, and they left that next day. So they've been traveling for a month now, just to give us perspective as to where they're at, how long they've been traveling. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, murmured or complained or griped or groaned, whatever term you want to use, they all apply, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Stop and think about their situation. Now, they're out in the wilderness, so yes, provisions probably are scarce out there as far as providing food for, how many did we say? Do you remember? Like 2 million people. So, obviously, if resources are scarce out there, they're going to consider, that was chapter 12, verse 39. Remember, it says, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough. This was before they left, which they brought forth out of Egypt. So they had the unleavened bread, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. Neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals or supplies. So when they left, all they had was that bread and no other supplies. So what have they been consisting on for this 30 days, other than what they can find? Pardon me? Bread and water? Probably not for 30 days. What left Egypt along with the people?
All the stuff.
All the stuff. Not just what the Egyptians had given them, but their own what? Livestock, right? So they have some source of food. It's not like somebody plopped them out in the middle of a desert and they had absolutely nothing for 30 days and they're all malnutritious and they're all about to die at this point. I mean, they did take their flocks with them, so obviously they have some supply of food.
But they didn't have any lettuce.
They didn't have any lettuce. Yeah. So if they do have some food supplies, and again, we're talking about a lot of people, so you would need a lot of food supply. And it doesn't say that they were on their deathbed or starving at this point. Maybe, here's a possibility, maybe they're seeing, you know, we've had to start using our livestock for food, and this is only going to last so long with 2 million people using up this food supply. So it could be that they are reasoning in their minds, we've got this many people, this much food, this is only going to last us so long, and then we're out here in the middle of nowhere where there's very few provisions and obviously not enough for 2 million plus people. So we see this is going to happen. What's a problem when you look ahead and you don't know for sure what's going on? Okay, you begin to think up things that could happen, right? I know Geraldine has shared with the ladies in Bible study, think on things that are what?
True.
Okay, your circumstances right now, you're not dead, you're not dying. There's not a plenty of supply where you can see ahead, but does that mean that you're going to die out there in the wilderness? No, it just means that you're assuming that that's what's going to take place because your common sense says that's what's going to happen. Well, what's wrong with common sense? Nothing. God gives us common sense, but God doesn't work through common sense, does he? God doesn't work that way. So they came to, again, they came to Moses and Aaron. We're going to talk about this a little more later. Why? Who's supplying their needs? Moses and Aaron? God is. So why don't they go to God? Because it's easier to complain to people you can talk to, right? It's easier for us to do, right? It's easier for me to go to somebody and complain about my situation instead of doing what I should be doing and taking that situation to God and looking for, you know, sometimes we look for a resolution for problems, right? God, I see a situation here. I see a problem. Can you fix this for me? What should we be asking God for? To take the situation away? No, we should be asking for him to give us the grace we need to make it through the situation, right? Because again, if we go back to the fact that God is in control, and if we believe that God is in control and God has a purpose for this, then there's a lesson for us to learn, right? Because God wants us to grow in him and learn. So if we can learn the lesson that we're supposed to learn through that situation, then we grow closer to him, and that's ultimately his desire. If we don't learn that lesson, guess what? We got to go to school again until we learn that lesson, right? So instead of asking for God take care of the situation, they go to Moses and Aaron because it's easier to complain there instead of doing what they're supposed to be doing. But like us, sometimes we do the same thing. And they want this situation. Here's another interesting thing they found. What are they looking for? If they still have provision, it says, when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread, what? To the full. What's that mean? As much as till you're stuffed, as much as you want. They weren't looking for necessity, they were looking for extra, right? They were looking for everything that I want. I want abundant, not just enough to get by, not just what we need. We'll talk about that in a minute too. And thirdly, what were they willing to do? They said, better that we were there where we were enslaved, because at least we had plenty to eat. We're willing to live under those circumstances, under that situation, because we had enough to eat. That's a pretty sad excuse for being willing to go back to the situation they were in Egypt, just because one thing happened to be good there. But sometimes we do that too, don't we? Sometimes we think of, well, sometimes we desire to be in the world, even though that's supposed to be dead to us, because maybe there was something back there that we enjoyed, or we thought we enjoyed. And yet we, you know, kind of head back that direction. The old nature says, look at how good it was there when you were involved in that, or look what you enjoyed back then. And sometimes that draws us back that way when we need to say, look, we've left that. God has brought us to this point. Why return to that situation? Why return to that filth or that sin that keeps nagging at us, or guilt or whatever it might be? Why return to that when God has brought us to this point? Justin.
Mm-hmm. And also looking at what we do with the circumstances here too.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of a joke of, when you ask for cheese nuts, and say, I already have all the wine.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses. So God says to Moses, this is what I'm going to do. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven, not Wonder Bread, but something. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove or test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Yes, God did rain something from heaven that they used to make bread, so he did supply that need. But along with the grace that God showed to them, because after all they did is murmur and complain. And in God's grace, he's going to provide that need. But along with provision of that need is what? A test. Sometimes when God supplies a need for us, or in grace and mercy to us, gives us things, sometimes there's a test as well, right? Are we going to follow God's commands or God's law? He talks about here, whether or not they will walk in my law or not. So along with the provision was a test. Really, we walk through many tests, don't we? How do we fare when we walk through those tests? Do we do what God desires us to do, or do we fall back into sin or our own common sense? Sometimes that gets us, doesn't it? And it shall come to pass, so he continues to talk to Moses, that it shall come to pass on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So on the sixth day they gather twice as much. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even or evening ye shall know. So they go to the children of Israel and say to them, at the evening ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, so tonight you're going to know that God has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory or provision of the Lord, for he hath for he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us? In other words, why are you coming to us with this? Who are we? You know, we can't make it. We can't provide for you. We can't meet this need, but yet you come to us complaining. They go on again. It's interesting, this word murmur or complain is like four times in these next several verses. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. So Moses and Aaron say to the congregation, you're complaining to us, but we can't meet this need. Why are you complaining to us? You're complaining against God. Because God is the one that's going to, is the only one that can meet this need. He's the one that's brought you out of the land of Egypt, and yet you're complaining against him because of your current situation or how you see your current situation. Verse 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation, remember Moses, God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to Aaron, Aaron spoke to the people, or Pharaoh and then his people sometimes. As Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. What cloud? Remember the pillar of cloud? God was leading them with a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night to show his presence with them. And at this point in time, God shows in that cloud his presence, his glory, whatever that is. Did that cloud all of a sudden shine brightly because of God's glory? It doesn't tell us exactly, but whatever it was a visible sign that God was there then and now, and they could see that physical change, that God was there, and he had heard their murmurings and was going to deal with that. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 12, I had heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass, so this is what happened, it came to pass that in the evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host, and, oh, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, we'll keep going. And when the dew that lay was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness they lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna, or manna means what is this? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given to you. And here's the instructions. And this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of every man according to his eating an omer. What's an omer? It's a measurement, about 2 quarts. So according to your eating, or according to how many people, and we'll keep going here, gather that omer, that 2 quarts, for every man according to the number of your persons. So you've got you and your wife and 3 kids, you gather 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 omers, right? If you got 8 kids, you're not going to gather 5 omers, right? Because you're going to wind up short. So everyone according to his household. For every man according to the number of your persons, take every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less, right? Obviously some have to gather more, some have to gather less for that provision. And the children of Israel did so, and some gathered more. And when they meet or measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. So even though you had a big family and you gathered a lot, it worked out that that was just exactly what they needed. They didn't have any extra. And those who only had to gather a little, maybe it was just him and his wife, or maybe it was just him. He didn't wind up short. He had just enough. I know the buzzer rang. Huh? The first one, I know. What does God provide for us as we need it? Just enough, but not too much, and not too little. Grace, right? We talk about this. As we go through different situations, God provides for us the grace we need. When? A week before? An hour before? No, when we need it. Just like God is, we'll talk about this more, but I wanted to get to this. Just like God provides for them. Every morning they have to go gather it, right? Because that's when they need it. Every evening God supplies meat or the quail for them to eat because that's when he needs it. When you gather, you don't wind up with too much, you don't wind up with too little, just like God's grace. God doesn't supply manna from heaven for us, right? When was the last time you gathered up stuff out in your lawn in the morning and cooked it for bread? Okay, never. But in this situation, God provided their need when they needed it. It was a physical. Sometimes God provides our physical needs when? Maybe just when we need it. And when we don't need it anymore, it's not there. Just like God's grace and mercy. When we need it, he supplies it. Are we willing to wait on God's provision? Or do we want it ahead of time? Like Israel, want to know that I've got enough supplies because I see my supplies dwindling, and I want to see enough abundance to know that I'm going to make it this whole trip, however long this trip is going to be. But God doesn't work that way, does he? Because he wants us to trust him from this moment to the next moment. And then from that moment to when? Not the next week, the next moment, right? So if every moment we are trusting God for the next moment, we don't have to look ahead and don't have to worry what the situation is to come. Because right now, I'm trusting God. And when that moment comes, I'll trust him then. And whatever I need then, he will supply whatever I need then. We'll continue on next week. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.